All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So last week, Father Hugh gave a sermon to start preparing us for the parish survey that is coming out next Sunday. Because, just a reminder, we are in a search process to call a new rector. And he talked to us about being able to figure out our core values as a parish and being honest about them when we engage this survey. And one of the metaphors he used to describe the self-honesty needed was a story about my dating life. online dating and filling out a profile online in order to try to meet someone. And the basic premise is this: I didn't answer the questions as honestly as I should have, and so I didn't get the dates I really wanted. But I'm going to actually explore that a little more because it's my story, and there's a lot more to pull out of it, okay? And keep in mind, okay, the reason why I'm going into this is that if we're searching for our core values as a parish, we need to figure out what our core values are as individuals. Because I think if I was to ask everyone in this parish what makes St. Anne's St. Anne's, I might get a lot of different answers. And so figuring out where we are is very important to figure out before we actually call our next rector. So I had filled out an online dating profile in like 2007, 2008, maybe a little earlier, maybe a little later. And then let's just say I did not have a really good run of it. And in 2014, I revisited the questions that I had originally asked, and I discovered a few things. The first was that I wasn't honest about, or was afraid to ask myself who I was. I didn't know really how to describe myself. I focused on superficial things, and honestly, some of the truths about myself I didn't want to reveal to people for fear of scaring them off. The second was that I wasn't honest about, or I was afraid to say, what I needed. I didn't want to come off as too needy. I didn't really want to be honest about the places in my life where someone else could fit. I just wanted to find someone, right? You meet someone, you make it work, whatever. That didn't work out so well. And the third thing I noticed in taking a look at that profile many years later was that I never took into account how much I would change over time. So when I filled that out in 2007, I did not know that I would be called to the ministry. I didn't know I would spend a year in South Dakota on a reservation. I didn't know that I was going to go to seminary for 3 years. I didn't know that, you know, I was going to have new friends. Old friends would leave me. Others would die along the way. Pets would die along the way. I didn't know how much the world would change in that time. So when I looked at it again in 2014-ish, thereabouts, or 2013-ish, somewhere in there, I didn't know who I was going to be at that time. And so when I looked at it then, I went back and re-answered all of them as honestly as I could, and I didn't pull any punches. Because seriously, what I had done before hadn't worked, right? It actually led to some seriously bad matchups. So, I mean, I could tell you some funny stories about the stoners. I got a lot of those. I don't know why. I'm not actually, it's never been my thing. No judgment intended. It's just never been my thing. Okay? Or some people a little bit, I'll use the word crazy, forgive me, but that was true. They probably would say the same thing about me. And then there were those who didn't believe in monogamy, and I'll leave it at that. But the most tragic thing of that time actually were the women who I met who were awesome, but we just didn't fit right. We had good intentions, right? But that wasn't enough. If we had both been maybe a little bit more honest at the beginning, we would have spared ourselves a lot of pain in the end. So So that was some reflecting that I did at that time. So spoiler alert, when I re-answered all of those questions, in less than a year, I met Holly. And then we were married like a year later. So I'd like spent so long like trying to find the right person, nothing ever worked. And then when I met the right person, it went like that. So I guess the point is that in trying to be honest with myself, that's what enabled me to meet the person I needed to be with. And now, also just as a small tangent, right? Like we often like to think that like some certain superficial things are actually kind of terribly important. We like to find, let's just say, common interests or what's your favorite color or things like that. Now, Holly and I definitely do not have the same favorite color. She loves kind of like a turquoise-ish green blue, and she loves purple, and they are definitely not my favorite colors. But I'm not the one who cares about decorating the house, so it doesn't actually matter, right? Or, and to be fair on that one, I don't think she ever anticipated meeting someone who wanted to decorate houses with Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and Dungeons and Dragons stuff. Right? She knows it's true. I have yet to talk her into letting me have a Lord of the Rings room, but that's okay. And in terms of interests, right, we have some common interests, and having common interests is a good thing. Like, it can open up conversation, spend some time together, but it's also good to have things that are separate. So Holly likes knitting and sewing and quilting and stuff like that, and that's just not something like I can appreciate the handiwork, but I'm never going to do it. And I like spending hours working on mechanical conversions for various fantasy novels into Dungeons and Dragons rule settings. And you're with me. You're with me. I got one. He's like the only guy in the conversation. I'm not going to out you yet. I think I just did. So you see, but we both mutually respect the fact that we have our separate interests. So those things are less important than the big questions, right? What do you value? How do you communicate? How do you resolve disagreements, right? What do you want? And so in answering those questions honestly, being humble, because I really had to be humble and go back and say to myself, what was I thinking, you know? And being humble, I was able to actually answer the questions honestly and ultimately meet the woman of my dreams. Shout out to Holly. Yay. Now, not to put too fine a point on it, but the rough timeline from when I finished that first survey to when I completed it is about the same amount of time that Mother Diane was here. So in the 7 or 8 years that Mother Diane's been here since our last rector search, I'm gonna suggest that a lot has changed, and so it's time to actually reevaluate some things. So in order to figure out where we are today, in order to better answer the survey questions that we're gonna get in 2 weeks, or 1 week, not 2 weeks, sorry, 1 week, okay, I have some questions that maybe will help us reflect on these things. If you're the type to take out a pen and paper, now's the time to do it. If you're not, don't worry, it's being recorded, and I would encourage you, before next Sunday, to listen to Father Hugh's sermon from last week online, and to listen to my sermon from this week online, to prepare yourself to honestly engage with the questions you're gonna be asked. And there's gonna be some sub-questions in my three questions, but there's three big ones. The first, who am I in my relationship with God? Who am I? Do I pray? Do I read scripture? Do I set aside time to be with God? Why or why not? What keeps me going back or what keeps me away? This is a really important question to ask when you're about to call a new priest. Episcopalians are famously reticent about talking about their spiritual life. They don't like to talk about the places that God has encountered them. They don't like to talk about their prayer life. They don't like to even invite their neighbor over for parish barbecues because that might be seen as evangelism and pushing Jesus on someone. We're crazy. Like, this is actually a problem. Now, and here's the thing. This parish in particular is actually very reticent about talking about its spiritual life. And as your priest, that makes my life very difficult because I don't know how to guide you to a better relationship with Jesus if you're not telling me where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So that's one thing that this parish should reflect on before we call our next priest, because that's a place that we actually kind of need to grow and a place where we need to learn to be honest with ourselves and each other about our spiritual life. The second big question, okay? What do I need to grow in my relationship with God? What will help? How does God currently speak to me? Am I willing to grow and be challenged? And why or why not? Because if we're not willing to be challenged in our faith, why do we even come here? If I have all the answers, I don't need Jesus. I don't have all the answers. That's why I need Jesus. That's why I go to him week after week, day after day, sometimes hour after hour. Because I find myself changing. And in finding Jesus, that's how I also changed so much over the course of the years that I was talking about just a few minutes ago. So, what do I need to grow and change? And if I'm reticent about growth and change, why? And I'm going to point out one place where I think that we need to be honest with ourselves so that we can grow in our relationship with Christ. And it's not unique to us. I hear this everywhere I go, but we have a fear of talking about political things in this congregation. I've been told we don't like political sermons. Jesus was very political. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. That is a political statement, especially in 21st century America. And Jesus wasn't crucified because he was a nice guy who said some things. Jesus was crucified because he upset the political and religious establishment of his day. Now, there is a word that I think preachers should avoid. Okay? And that's the word partisan. We should not be partisan in our preaching. Because Jesus wasn't a Democrat and Jesus wasn't a Republican. And anyone who tries to tell you otherwise is blowing smoke up, and I will not finish that sentence. Jesus was neither. Now, I've been accused of preaching political sermons, and by political, I think people meant partisan. I am not partisan. I am a radical centrist. My friends in seminary used to come to me because they just like to see me being angry at the entire world all the time. I don't pick sides that way. The only side I pick is Jesus. And so when I come to the text, I go with the text. And what that means to me is that I'm not the one bringing partisanship to the pulpit. You're the one bringing partisanship in your listening. So, in terms of a place we as a parish need to grow and change, it's our reticence of accepting things that might challenge our existing assumptions, because Jesus ought to be challenging your existing assumptions. That's why we come here, and that's why we need him. And my final question for today is, how much have I changed? And has the world changed since we called Mother Diane? 8 years is a long time. I'm not the same person I was 8 years ago. Like I said, I've been to a reservation, I've been to seminary, I've been married. I have a dog now. I lost another dog a few years ago. Holly lost a cat a few years ago. I've lost friends in the interim. I've lost parishioners here who I loved in the interim. Okay? I'm not the same person I was even when I got here. and the world around me is completely unrecognizable to me from what it was 8 years ago. So we have to be honest about the fact that we have changed, because I'm willing to bet that y'all have had things happen in your life in the last 8 years, some pretty significant things, which means that you're not the same person you were 8 years ago. And that means everyone in here is not the same person they were here 8 years ago. And that means this is not the same church it was 8 years ago. So we have new challenges as individuals, and there are definitely new challenges out in the world. In order to ask these questions, we need to be humble, as Jesus recommends today, and we need to be honest. So my prayer for us today, my brothers and sisters, is that we would be humble when asking these questions, that we would dig deep to figure out the whys and the why nots, to figure out where we need to grow and why, so that when we call our next director, we can give honest answers about who we are, where we've been, and where we're going, and that we can call not just somebody, but the right person. In Jesus' name, amen.